Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Hi, and welcome to Gooder Goods, a podcast about conscious consumption. I'm Kelly Okamura, and I'd like to share with you my long journey from front row fashionista to shopping in my closet as a trendsetter. We're all consumers who wear clothes. And as a professional in the purchasing system, my spending spree has taught me a lot about why clothes matter and why all of us need to think twice before we mindlessly make our next purchase. And hopefully before we wreck our planet for the sake of a bargain that we thought was too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
Hi! Are you holiday shopping for others? I'm trying to decide whether I should buy winter tires before buying Christmas presents for loved ones. If you've listened to recent Good or Good podcasts, you may know that I'm in the red from an unexpected car purchase. I'm glad I took on debt to make this unfortunate situation result in me driving a hybrid car. Now that I'm the owner, it's mine to take care of, whether it's a plant or dry clean only garment or my new to me car. Purchaser responsibility includes new expenses with ownership of stuff, like floor mats or big ticket purchases like winter tires, now that it's December. The forecast is for a long, cold 2017. Have you ever gone into debt to buy presents to show your love? If you're like many in the developed world, the answer is yes. Think of the Christmas parable, The Gift of the Magi. Here, the currency of the exchange of goods cost hair loss and a family watch. Both have personal value that is evident in the exchange of buying something else. Not so with modern credit to finance buyers' debt. And Canadians' debt load is quickly catching up to the Americans. In the short window to commit to buying my car, I looked at my finances to see if I could bridge the gap between the insurance settlement and the Kia hybrid. A mentor once told me that money is always available, so not to use it as an excuse to stop moving forward. I appreciated his counsel, understanding that financial institutions want your debt. They're happy to loan you money. It's how they make their money. Good to understand. But back to my dilemma about going into debt to show my love through buying stuff for a culturally defined deadline that isn't even mine. In the Fast Personal Finance Review Buy My Car, I noted a forgotten account with $750. At the time, I remember thinking to myself, good, there's my money for Christmas. So even if I said to Mike, don't stress about buying presents for me, he called me on the no gifts this year because I buy for my present closet throughout the year. And typically, I defend these purchases because they're not for me. Yet doing this podcast on conscious consumption have made me more aware of my shopping for the sake of a bargain. Every year, my mom says the same thing to us. Don't buy them presents. They have all that they need. She even emailed me recently and told me in underline and bold that she doesn't want me to buy her gifts. But sadly, I'm not heeding her request. I'm sending her Caroline Ishii's new book, The Accidental Chef. In fact, I'm buying several copies for people I wouldn't normally buy Christmas gifts for. I'm thinking of loved ones and for people who may not be able to appreciate Caroline's cooking firsthand, but can benefit from her wonderful memoir, To Follow Your Dreams, Trust Your Instincts, and Discover Your Talents. My mom tells me not to buy presents repeatedly, and my response is, giving is the choice of the giver. This regular argument spills beyond Christmas to birthdays and even funerals. The modest line on an invite that states, no gifts please, assumes people will bring gifts, and the non-receiver's stance, we don't need more stuff. So is buying stuff to show your love simply commerce marketing? What do you think? What's your stance on present buying? Showing generosity is ancient. Possessions mattered in warring and arranged marriages. But in an increasingly transparent world, is going into debt to buy unwanted stuff worth it in the information era? Mike's primary school daughter mentioned people online bragging about the Black Friday deals. And I thought it was interesting that even at a young age, buying stuff is political and informed. Her retort to someone she doesn't even know is part of a newer way that our consumption is communicated in a free-for-all stance that contrasts with the civilized world's relationship to buying stuff. The old dictates from a top-down hierarchy are being challenged by the mass in a digitally connected world, and part of the newer shift in buying in a transparent shopping mall. It used to be that my debt was my secret. Then banks could track my spending faster and faster as we moved to banking online. And my spending patterns were apparent to other commerce institutions to rate my credit and ability to pay. So I noticed this weird online marketing started showing up in my inbox for stuff that was inappropriate until I clicked in that the automated messages came from tracking my online shopping, or more specifically, hunting for bargains online. And meandering from toys and electronics to other pages with stuff that was on sale. My mom may tell me one thing about gift giving to her, but kids have no problem asking for more stuff. And we've been trained to ignore old parables and our elders' advice to buy what kids want at any personal cost. So even with my restricted Xmas funds, I went searching online to see if I could make a child happy through buying. And my online search for toys resulted in a robot using big data telling me what more I should buy. Luckily for me, this will be year two of the Hansen Family Gift Exchange with regifting. I've celebrated the holidays with the family for enough Christmases to have heard the woes of going into debt before the holidays. From broke young adults who, not long ago, were simply gift recipients, to recognizing the seasonal cost for a matron on a fixed income with an ever-growing family. Gifting took on a debt toll. So a few years back, I was commenting on a ring I was wearing casually. It came from a Christmas regifting from my mom. She had opened the vault on unworn jewelry and offered us girls our choice of precious gifts that my dad had purchased over the years to give to my mom. She likely has stories about each piece, but she only has so many fingers to wear these items. My choices from that Christmas gift-giving were really special, knowing that these jewels were handed down gifts from my dad's earlier generosity. So the setting for my diamond and ruby ring that I wear regularly is not in fashion, but I wear it with loving pride. And its sparkle gave me the opportunity to share this story of my family's regifting. You can see last year's generous regift from Emily to me from an earlier podcast. The candies have been eaten and the candles have melted, but the metal carrier remains fondly on my back deck. This year, I pulled Callum's name, and he spins records, just like his uncle, but they have their own styles, and even if I had a record, it likely wouldn't be in for the fashionable spin. But I did have a thrifted t-shirt printed with record company logos. I'm going to assume Callum's not tuning in to this podcast before he opens his gift, so I'm talking about his gift before he opens it. I shared this with the Central Toronto Academy students in our recent t-shirt tagging workshop that I was regifting this used t-shirt newly fashioned with a yellow record insert. Using the same simple process of heat transfers that we use to recreate their new-to-them attire. You can see some of their fabulous recreated shirts on the Good or Good Twitter. But back to Callum's yet-to-be-opened gift. I hope he likes it, but as the gift giver, it makes me happy. And after I package it with a case of beer coasters that I bought at a yard sale and forgot to give as a gag gift, I'll add a premium beer that someone brought to my place, since I don't drink beer. So my gift exchange will appear fabulously magnanimous, but it will not have a hard cost in this year's limited Christmas budget. What it will cost me is some time. I'm a shopper, not a crafty girl, so luckily this project is simple. Simple enough that I could teach an equity class to make unique apparel using existing products for little money. And hopefully this learning will counterbalance their young defense to buy fast fashion because it's cheap. So was Black Friday shopping for their t-shirts at the charity shop. Check out our adventure on the Good or Good podcast, Red, Black, and Click. But to create my gift package for Callum took thought. So as I mulled on what I knew of this young man and what I could give to him in this new tradition of gift giving, I received special time with him even if he wasn't there. And that for me has value as a Buddhist participating in Christmas gift giving. We have the choice to spend time with our loved ones, or we can spend money and time shopping to check present buying off lists and slide into the new year with debt. This doesn't always have a happy ending. My young nephew dropped an uncensored comment on Aunt Kelly's rethinking on giving. The remark stemmed from his observations that I have so much stuff, which he concluded was the reason why I gave gifts that had been used. So this year, I bought him new coins from the Canadian Mint that had never been used. And this cold currency likely didn't give me any anti-brownie points, but I'm sure his parents got the message. So this Christmas, he'll likely get a modest new gift card, since I'm getting short on time and money. Yes, buying for kids can be a litmus test for following through on our gift-giving values. I can appreciate Mike's real worry about buying shiny new stuff off the store shelves for his kids versus the hard reality of starting 2017 in debt. I've told my children who are older that I'm celebrating the holiday in the spirit of Christmas and some of my budget is going for the tree. Even the tree has been a battleground in our family. Cut a live tree or go artificial. So far, our tradition of dressing a live tree has continued, and we make a game of how long we can continue to find pine needles in the wooden floor slats. Thankfully, a harvested tree benefits Boy Scouts and my neighbor who grows them. And buying an artificial tree this year could make a big dent in my 2016 budget. This traditional symbol of gift giving is largely secular for the presents to be under the tree. I remember from my youth that one year my engineer dad created a two-story Christmas tree that looked like it burst through our roof. Yet the novelty paled to our childlike focus on what's under the tree that has your name on it. But as I grow older and have to pay for stuff, part of the spirit of Christmas comes from unpacking the boxes of old ornaments and tree decorations. The memories of Christmas past are present as the fragile orbs are unwrapped, and I can appreciate their gift to me as we dress the tree. I've yet to buy a 2016 ornament, and may receive one. But if I have budget left, I may just buy one after the holidays, when its commercial value is halved, but it will have lasting memory for me at full value for years to come. Happy holidays, and make a point to shop with happiness in the final countdown as we dress for the tree. Thank you for providing me with the online accountability to stay within my budget this Christmas. Good luck.
Follow me on Twitter at Gooder Goods. The links I referenced can be found on Facebook. Search Gooder Goods. And the podcast is uploaded on soundcloud.com/GooderGoods. Choose to be gooder.